Hey guys, Rob here, and as my way of giving back for all the support that you guys have given this show, I'm going to be donating 100% of the proceeds from our Amazon referrals to fundraise for Reality Rally and Michelle's Place for the first week of March. So support Michelle's Place from March 1st to March 7th when you start your Amazon shopping at robasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has an Amazing Race podcast, and now here's the guy who has never been ever called a well-balanced individual, Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special Amazing Race live podcast, and look, we have real live Amazing Racers with us. It's Ryan and Abby from Amazing Race 21.
What's up, Rob? What's up, Rob?
How are you guys doing?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. I just wrapped up my Oscar party. It was pretty wild. I left the Vanity Fair party a little early to get back down here and come in and talk Amazing Race with you guys.
Sounds good. It's really about the after party anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Doesn't start till 1 a.m.
Right. That's right. So I had a few drinks and then came back from the Oscar party and then going to talk some race and then, going to head back out there.
You think anyone watched the race tonight?
I don't know. Well, we've got a lot of people here in the chat room. They all seem to have watched the Amazing Race. They're all saying hello to Ryan and Abby. Mark Edwards says, OMG, Ryan and Abby, we love you. So very good. So
nice.
Yeah.
So we are cruising along here live on robasawebsite.com. It is about 9:35 on the West Coast. And if you want to get some of your questions in on the show, you can use the tweet us with the hashtag RHAP. I also have some questions that came to us live tonight from our Facebook fan page, which is at robhasawebsite.com/Facebook or Facebook.com/RobAsAPodcast. Either way, it'll get you there. All right.
There is no off-limit questions for us. You can ask anything.
Whoa. Well, and it's late anything. On the East Coast, so you might get all sorts of questions.
Anything.
All right. Good. Good. Well, let's get into it. It's a new season, and let's talk a little bit about what happened tonight, and then I'm sure as we go here along the way, we'll talk about stuff that happened with you guys. But what's been your take so far on this Amazing Race? Is this are these Amazing Race 22 teams soft?
Well, I think the swimming thing kind of was interesting tonight. I mean, when you're going on the show, you learn two things. It's to learn how to stick shift drive and make sure you know how to swim. So I think we were kind of taken back by that. I don't know. It's hard. It's early on, right? So there's a lot of snippets and a lot of editing that happens. And I think it's kind of hard to hone in on like a front runner right away. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, my take on the show is, and this goes for any season, not just this season, but as Abby was saying, early on, you have so many personalities and stories you have to develop. You have a limited amount of time to get it out there. So everything just seems really choppy. And you're in Bora Bora. It's one of the most beautiful places that we've ever seen on TV, let alone I'm sure it was great to be there. And you kind of get lost in that beauty because you're trying to catch up with the stories and the personalities. And it's just all so mumble jumbled. It's a lot going on. And unfortunately, the show just tends to do better. And I'm sure most of the Emmy award winning seasons, they've submitted tapes from later in the season because the stories are better, they're more drawn out, and there's fewer teams. So right now it just feels really choppy.
Introductory, I think, so.
As Amazing Racers, and you guys were super competitive, does it make you sick to see three teams quit on a challenge in the first week, and then you have another team that from the get-go is saying, we should just quit. We should just quit this challenge.
Well, I think with the sandcastles, we were laughing, so we're like, okay, it's hot. We'll give that to them, but they're in Bora Bora. Building sandcastles, and I think our hardest days were definitely in Dhaka. The situation was a little bit different there. We couldn't believe that. I don't know. It's interesting. I guess you don't really know until you're there, but I don't know.
I assume Bertram's head was spinning around when those teams started saying, like, let's just walk off now and make it a sprint until the finish line. And, you know, they set that up because the best parts of that show were the 8-hour, you know, hail bales of hay tasks or, you know, 6 hours of doing something, then people just walk off and leave it to, you know, a foot race or in that case, a canoe race. I'm sure production was going nuts.
Should they not let teams go ahead and skip out on stuff like that? Should they make it that you have to complete the challenge, that there's no 4-hour penalty if you quit?
You know, I mean, obviously that's the reason for the penalty, is to dissuade those guys from doing that by giving them such a harsh penalty. And even tonight with the twins debating whether or not to do the swimming task, and they were contemplating, well, it's 6 hours, and if we quit now, we might have a chance. I mean, there's no way you can quit and expect to stay in the race. I mean, something catastrophic would have to happen. You would never leave it up to chance.
It seems, too, like in more recent seasons, it's happening earlier on. I mean, I remember in particular with the Globetrotters many, many seasons ago when they took the penalty, it was further along. It was they'd tried and tried and tried. But to see teams like right off the bat, or at least from editing purposes, it seems like within an hour or two, like call it quits, it's a little different than I think past seasons.
Yeah. I know for us, one thing that we were proud of was that we never quit, and we finished every task, and we, you know, did really well on all the tasks. And I was thinking back to season 20 with Dave and Rachel, when they did the stacking the watermelons and they couldn't complete it. So they decided to try the other side of that detour, which was the Paraguay dance with the bottle on their head. Mm-hmm. They couldn't complete that either, but at least they tried. And it just seems like these teams are like, all right, well, let's just, you know, try and quantify what the best method here is. Do we quit or do we move on? And if we can get other teams to quit, then we're all in the same place. But it's not, the essence of the show is lost. If it's not the amazing race, it's the amazing quit.
Now, this Idris and Jamil, are they the worst amazing race team of all time?
The worst.
I would say the worst.
I'm going to go fucking nuts. Do not apply for the show if you can't swim.
Can't swim.
Don't apply if you're afraid of water. It's absolutely
you will be
the
in
most,
water every.
It's a show based on your fears and about adventure, and water is involved. So why do you even apply if it's that much of a paralysis for you? I don't get that. It's not like. I just don't understand.
It's one thing to learn to not know how to like drive a stick and then take that task, you know, do that before you get on the show. But to go on the show still not being confident with it.
It's not even that. Yeah, it's not like they didn't know how to swim. It's that they were deathly afraid of it and paralyzed. And they're taking away the opportunity for someone else to race. It was just a waste of a team. I cannot believe they got on the show, you know, or would even take the chance going on the show.
It's just that these guys, if you watch them in their preseason stuff, they looked like a very formidable team. I almost picked them as winners from watching their interviews. I'm like, oh, these guys are athletic. They're smart. They're doctors. They're twins. They have good communication. And they really just came out and were such a disappointment through two episodes.
They were terrible. I never sensed strength from them at all.
Maybe they would have been good at like analytical tasks, brain tasks, yeah. But the nature of the show is that you're going to get a lot of physical tasks, I think, first before you get a lot of the brainy stuff. Yeah.
Now, last week, and forgive me because I could not tell which of these twins was which. I know that you guys have never
like more goatee hair.
I know you guys have never been able to differentiate between identical twins. So we had last week. I know it was Idris that was having a problem with the sandcastle. Who was the one? Who's afraid of the water? Idris or Jamil?
Yeah, I have no idea.
But one was saying not to quit. One was saying, look, we have to quit. We have to quit right now. We're wasting time by not quitting. Do we know? In the chat room, do you guys know, was it Idris or was it Jamil? Which is the one? Or is it just that Idris is just terrible and he's bringing Jamil down with him? No,
It was both of them. You know what? It's so early on. I was looking because I know with our 20s, it took us about a couple like days, if not weeks, to differentiate them. So I was looking on the screen. I think it was the one with more hair. I don't know which
honestly,
one.
Honestly, like, these guys are OBGYNs, right?
Yeah.
So if the water breaks,
watch out.
Someone goes into labor, they're going to have a problem. Like, oh, I can't do it. There's so much water.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, it was a real disaster for Idris and Jamil. Should they have quit right away? I mean, would they have not come in last place if they would have quit when they said they were going to?
I don't know. It's so hard with the editing, but it seems like if they would have done that second task first, they may have stood a better chance. And we were talking about
that. The other side of the detour.
Yeah, the other side of the detour. We were talking about that. When you get the clue, it might seem like the easier, more simpler one would just be to dive for pearls, But I think the other one may have seemed a little bit scarier and more intensive. And then when you get down there, it's pretty much like you're in a small vicinity. All you have to do is unpack the treasure chest and put the stuff down.
I think what saved or would have saved them is they had the breathing apparatus underwater with them. And that seemed to alleviate a lot of the fear that they had going underwater in the first place, which was holding their breath and then, you know, staying underwater. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I know how those clues are. I know for Abby and I, the one clue that comes to mind where we luckily chose by accident, but
scale.
No, for the detour, because that was a roadblock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The detour in Bangladesh, we wanted to do bamboo, and Bertram came up to us while we were making our decision and was like, oh, why are you choosing bamboo? And I said, well, it seems logical. There's 40 pieces of bamboo. And at that time, we didn't know that this was like, you know, very, very heavy stuff, et cetera. So we made the decision. He kind of just shrugged us off, and we got to our cab, and the cab's like, you know, I don't know where this is, basically. And we're like, all right, well, do you know where this is? To the other side of the detour, which was the jute mill. And he said, yeah. And he basically said it was right around the corner from where we built the scale. And so we ended up doing that. We were the only team that did that. And that was basically because of a byproduct of the way the clue was drafted. And you don't know. You really don't know. It's you get three or four sentences and description of what you're going to be doing, and that's all you can go off of. So for the other teams on our season, when they did bamboo, they were there for a couple hours, and we did the jute mill in maybe 45 minutes. And it proved to, you know, it got us, into second place that day.
Yeah, absolutely. I just seen the chat room that Brian Lynch said, remember that one challenge one season when the racers had to get out of a submerged vehicle that the twins would have freaked. I think that was the season before you guys.
That was season 20.
Yeah. Freaked me out.
That was season 20. That was a helicopter crash. A simulated helicopter crash with the Coast Guard in
Azerbaijan.
Right.
That was crazy. Abby, that's a great story. When we were watching that season, Abby, before we even applied to the show, I think, Abby's like, I couldn't do that.
And I'm claustrophobic. And I don't like being, I mean, who likes being submerged underwater?
And I'm like, wait a minute, if we're going on the show, you're going to need to get over that fear. So we ended up putting, I threw like 5 pennies into my hot tub, and she got in, and I closed the cover, and she couldn't come out until she got all 5 pennies. It didn't really solve anything. It was really stressful.
I think we got in between these tasks, though, because I'm looking at last season, and they did that, and then I'm looking at this season, and they're underwater, like, submerged. I'm like, we lucked out. I'll take DACA any day.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. You're like waterboarding Abby before you go on The Amazing Race.
Like, Abby, it's for possibly $1 million. Don't you want to?
I could have done it.
Yeah. Okay, there's a couple things that are going on this season that had me thinking of you guys. I knew we were talking to you this week. So how about this whole thing with the idea of giving the express pass away, the team that comes in first? Now, you guys came in first in your first leg of The Amazing Race. Now, you didn't get to give away an express pass. You had a shot to win $2 million. Would you have rather had two express passes to give away or the chance to win $2 million?
$2 million.
Yeah, the express pass for us wouldn't have played into anything. In our race, if we had an express pass, it would have been...
We would have dumped it on a weak team, probably.
Yeah, and if we had one ourselves, it would have done us no good because you had to use it by the eighth leg. Yeah. And at that point, everything was status quo. We were fine.
Yeah, but everybody would have kissed your butt at the pit stop like they did with on this leg of the Amazing Race.
It is pretty funny. It is pretty funny to watch these guys. I mean, you can see right through it. Everyone's totally strategizing, trying to get that express pass.
I think I probably would have rolled my eyes quite a bit.
Everybody was so nice to John and Jessica.
If the dad is hurt, if he's really injured, they should just give him the express pass anyways.
Because
he's a wounded animal, right? He's not gonna be able to take it home. So you might as well, you know, look like the heroes and the nice guys and stick to your word and give an express pass to a weak team that's gonna potentially get out a stronger team behind them.
I mean, I just can't see anybody giving it to a strong team. Weird.
Well, going back,
we know who the strong teams are right now, I think, right? I mean, you feel pretty confident that the Hockey Brothers are probably a strong team. J&J are a strong team.
I think married couple. I think newlyweds.
We like Max and Katie. We actually do like Max and Katie.
I like their dryness. I think they're going to come right up as soon as they can.
Mm-hmm.
I like the blonde girls. I don't see a lot of quit in those girls. They seem like go-getters.
Yeah. And they have famous relatives.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. So here, let me go back to something else that's reminded me of you guys. So we've seen this alliance or some sort of a what did they call that? The Fight Club? What do they have a name for that? The group of the teams that were potentially in the mix to get the Express Pass. Now,
did they say they were like the first flight?
First flight club.
And the first rule of the first flight club is there is no first flight club. But you guys were on the business end of an alliance on your season. Are you anti-alliances on The Amazing Race?
You know, for us, the alliance thing kind of got out of hand early on. We made really good friends with the Chippendales in LAX and before we even left for China. And we said early on, hey, you know, let's get each other to the final three. And then from there, we just race like we've never met before. But in the meantime, we're going to help each other out. And you saw it on the show. They gave us help with the clues when my clue got destroyed at the bus task in Bangladesh. Abby helped out James when they were building scales.
James and everything about that scale.
So there was a lot of back and forth. And then as, you know, the season went on, we got tighter and tighter with them. And then it came back to bite us in the ass when we got U-turned. So, you know, alliances in the race are totally different than alliances on Survivor, let's say. It's a much different animal. The show really isn't set up to sort of hamper other teams as much as it is you're just racing the course. But where you do see it come into play is when you lose your clue or a clue gets destroyed, you can't rely on your own because it's gone. So you rely on someone else and it can really help.
That helped, I think. The other side of that is, you know, on our season, James and Ava made it a point to really not socialize with anyone. And they alienated themselves in some circumstances. So you do walk a fine line. You want to make friends and be friendly. You don't want to be the outcast, you know, pair that just kind of does your own thing. But I think, like Ryan said, we got a little consumed by it at times. And, you know, for in that circumstance with the Chippendales, it came back to bite us in the ass for sure.
Yeah, but, you know, people say, well, what is it good does an alliance do? And I remember coming into Turkey, we were flying into Turkey, and the Beekman boys had talked to a flight attendant and gotten a iPhone or some kind of smartphone that had traffic GPS on it. And so we were all set to take the metro from the airport into the town to catch the ferry. And in fact, the Chippendales were waiting for us at the metro station. And as we're going through customs, Josh had said, hey, you guys, just so you know, there's actually no traffic right now. So taking a cab would be much quicker. And had we not had some sort of a relationship at that point, we would have been, you know, an hour behind everyone because that was the drop-off time from metro to taxi. So it can help you. It can be helpful.
Hold on. A flight attendant gave the Beekmans an actual cell phone?
No, not even. Josh said, can you look on your phone and tell me the traffic report? So it's not like they gave him the phone.
Okay.
She just was able to check her phone while we were landing. And saying traffic is wide open.
Yeah. Now, I know you guys were upset with James and James at the time of the end of your season back in December. Are you guys still not talking with James and James or still upset with those guys?
So we watched the Oscars tonight and before the show, and we were stoked that Argo won Best Picture. It's one of our favorite movies of the year.
Oh, my gosh. No. All right. It happened so long ago. We're friends with people from the race, and we don't keep in touch with others. And they're just a pair we don't keep in touch with.
Because I recently stayed at the Rio. I was there for the New Media Expo, and I saw Chippendales everywhere. And they do an aerial show. And I've even seen a James and James performance.
They're very famous out there now.
Yes.
They're big in Vegas.
They're big in Vegas.
Huge. It's huge. No, something else that came up tonight I thought was thinking of you guys, because we had these two teams at the near the back of the race, Caroline and Jen and Max and Katie. And so they both had the penalty from last week, and they were saying, hey, why don't we compete together? Why don't we run this leg of the race together? And I was thinking of you guys in the Beekmans last season, and you know, basically your decision to run the race with them after you guys got so far behind with your flights. Did you think that that decision that they made tonight to not work together was a bad one?
Well, Katie nailed it. Katie said,
I was going to say that.
She said, you need to keep your sights on the other teams at all times. And that's extremely true. Unless if you can't see anyone, you really don't know where you are on the race course. I made a reference earlier to that bamboo and that jute task for us. And we went to the jute mill by ourselves. We didn't see anyone. And we thought struggling. And
when we were seventh or eighth.
When we got out of there, yeah, we thought we were at the back of the pack. And it turned out we came in second place. And it was at that time when we realized it's better to be at the back but see other teams than to be in the middle of the course and not know where you are in reference to anyone else. Psychologically, it's just a huge advantage or disadvantage to not see anyone. So I get that strategy, and that was our thinking with the Beekmans, which was, yeah, let's run it together. But I was thinking that early on because I wanted to know where they were at all times. And then when they got that penalty in Moscow when they couldn't finish the synchronized swim, four-hour penalty, it really didn't matter if we stayed together or not. We had such a time advantage on them. It just made sense to stay together anyways.
But that also wasn't the reason why we decided to run with them. I mean, there were more things to that. We had met, you know, we had gone through that whole deal in Frankfurt with them. And I don't want to say it was a friendship too. We weren't just looking going, ha ha, we want to see where they are at all times. But like Ryan said, when you're already 6 to 8 hours behind everybody else, it is nice when it's midnight and you're trying to hail a cab in Moscow and you at least have another team with you to kind of gauge where you're at.
Yeah.
So let's go through some of the teams on this season of the race and give us sort of after tonight, what your gut feeling is on these guys after seeing them through 2 weeks. And we have new leaders here in the clubhouse. Our hockey players, Anthony and Bates, have moved into first place on the Amazing Race. Other than that these guys have no teeth, do you feel like, are we learning a lot about these guys? Do we have a good read on them yet?
Tough. Athletically tough, I guess.
Yeah.
Yellow, kind of.
Good guys. Athletic, obviously. And they seem to communicate really well with each other. And they seem in sync with each other. And they don't seem like they're causing drama for one another. And, you know, we haven't seen any edit yet to show that, you know, they get too fired up one way or the other. And, you know, there's really harmony between them, which is important. I could see them doing really well.
Me too. They're strong. You know, they seem mellow so far. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
they have a good sense of humor, it sounds like, so that keeps things light.
Now, they were able to beat out David and Connor, and unfortunately, who's the dad? Is it David or Connor? David is the dad.
David.
Yes. And
poor guy.
He may have, we may have an Achilles injury here. Maybe could be time to see Dr. James Andrews for David.
Or the twins that are doctors would be...
No, they're OBGYN.
Not so much.
Could probably diagnose it.
I feel bad for the father-son team. I think, you know, they have a good story. I was rooting for them. I don't think he's quite as fond, but I just feel bad. I mean, I think that they would be good competitors, but it seems like this injury, if it is what it is, they're going to be done. There's no
way. I didn't even think you could walk on a ruptured Achilles. I didn't even think you could put
if
any weight on it.
It's completely ruptured. It shrivels all the way up to your hamstring.
Ew.
So maybe he's faking it. to get that express pass.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Is that what they're doing? They're faking it to say, like, oh, we're hobbled.
Sympathy.
Give us an express pass. I don't know. I don't know if David is that diabolical.
I don't really think Amy had two prosthetic legs last season.
Oh, is that true? Was she faking that?
He's kidding.
Oh, okay.
It's an advantage to get through customs when you get to go through the disabled line.
We love Amy.
Yeah. Well, as long as she's not a Blade Runner, right?
Right? How right. crazy is that
yeah,
story? Watch,
yeah, that's we don't have to get into that. But so what do they do on the Amazing Race? Do they is there a precedent here for teams that are too injured to continue on?
It's your call. I mean, when James and Abba did the fast forward in Bangladesh, ABBA ended up falling through like a hole in the ground and totally like killed his knee. And
broke both his legs.
Broke both his legs and was basically running on like
broken tibias.
But I think it's your judgment call. I mean,
I think in season 20, Bopper slipped in Africa and tore up his knee, and they had a medic come in and look at it, and they gave him a brace and basically said, if you can go, go. If not, you know, we're going to pull you off the course. But yeah, I don't know.
It's your call, I think. I mean, but if you can't run, you're not going to make it till the end. I mean,
yeah.
Although Josh and Brent, they hated running.
And Monster Truck in our season had a roller bag, so he would just walk around with his roller bag. He never ran. He popped his hamstring on the very first day on the bridge in Pasadena when we were sprinting to the rappel.
Right.
It's good.
How about Chuck and Wynonna? I'm a big Chuck and Wynonna fan.
Love him. He should get way more airtime.
Wait, is she on the show there, or is she just cheerleading? Seems like he's done everything so far.
She laid on the boat tonight.
I think she got her vodka that she was wanting.
Yeah, vodka and 7-Up.
She passed out.
That's her drink. Yeah.
So great.
She's good. But could they win the race? Are they real contenders?
No. They cannot win the race. They will not win the race. I have no idea. I've not read a single spoiler. I swear to God, I have no idea. I can guarantee they will not win the race.
My favorite comment was the when we were talking about this earlier. She was judging the YouTube team for saying he looked like Richard Simmons, and I'm looking at her husband saying, he has the same hair as Richard Simmons. The curl.
They could do a whole episode series on just people from the South, and it would be the best rated show that
Monster
ever
Truck.
Done.
Yeah.
All of them. Mark and Bopper.
They're funny, though.
Yeah, what would they call that? What would be the theme for that season? Blue Collar Amazing Race. There you go.
Yeah, just Confederate flags flying everywhere. In every country, you have to bring a Confederate flag and stick it in the ground.
The Blue Collar Amazing Race. Could Phil still host it, though? I feel like you need, like, Larry the Cable Guy there.
I wonder what Phil thinks when these people come in for casting. If he's just like, yeah, this is gold.
Perfect.
Or he's just like, there's no way. There's no way.
Do you guys follow Phil on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you see tonight that he said, then he tweeted out, he's like, hey, a lot of people are asking me for this. So here's a picture of the babe from the mat without me in it.
Oh, whoa.
On race nights, it's hard to follow him if we don't want to get spoiled on what happens. But I do remember from last week, from the first leg, that people were like, hey, Phil, where's the dude you were on the mat with? And, you know, sending pictures out of that guy. He was pretty ripped up.
Whoa. So Phil also tweets out pictures of hot guys from the Met?
The fans want it all.
Yeah. Well, let me see if I can bring up real quick the picture that Phil had. Unless he tweets too much. Unless he does he do like a West Coast and an East Coast
version? No, I think he does an East Coast only.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we'll post it on robasawebsite.com. Phil's picture of the babe. Oh wait, here it is. Let's see. Unfortunately, it is horizontal. But let me try this real quick and see if I can. Can you guys see this?
This is good the picture.
Hey, girl.
What's up?
There you go. There's the picture of the greeter that Phil tweeted out. Now, is this on Phil's phone? I don't know. Where's
Yeah, he's probably snapping shots before any of the teams get there.
Yeah, it's good for Phil.
Or doing other things. Who knows?
Yeah.
We had a really cute greeter on our season. We had Moon in Bangladesh was pretty, but I was thinking of the girl in Amsterdam. She was pretty cute.
We were just in a bad mood that night.
She was cute.
Yeah.
And then we had a girl in Russia at Sokolniki Park that was...
She was sunburnt by the time we got there.
Yeah.
Speaking of Amsterdam, I have a question for you from our web producer, Jessica Frey. She wants to know, Ryan and Abby, were you getting a contact high in Amsterdam? And how was it for you when you were there?
Awesome question.
But we were running through the streets, jealous of everybody.
We were there. We were in the red light district. And I had been there when I was in law school. I did a semester in Spain and afterwards went backpacking through
Europe. And I went to the red light district for a couple of days with a buddy, and I was on the same streets that we were running through looking for clues. And as we were running through, I was yelling out to Abby, "This is where they grow weed. This is where," and then right before we got eliminated, I was like, "Wait, if we don't check in and we go back to the red light district, technically they can't eliminate us yet. We might as well go and blow it out with whatever money we have left." But it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. All right, how about some of these other teams? Roller Derby Moms.
So we haven't seen much about them, right?
They're strong.
They're strong. They're strong women.
They do well. You know, we'll see.
I like them. I personally like them. You know, I don't know a lot about them, only through the second leg here, but they look competent and they're obviously athletic.
Kind of no frills, no complainers, probably get her done type of people.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And they're a little bit older. So, you know, they've got some experience in the real world, and that helps.
Now, I know you guys said you liked Max and Katie, the newlyweds, who, again, for the second week in a row, I believe referred to themselves as diabolical. Do you guys like that in an Amazing Race team?
I just think she's kind of funny. I mean, he's fine, but I think she's kind of funny in her dry, kind of sarcastic way. It's just an interesting dynamic, I think, to see a couple like that. I don't know, something we haven't seen in a while.
What do you mean?
Just she's just kind of, she wears the pants a little bit, I think. Whoa, I don't know. Maybe. Whoa. She's kind of a strong, very, you know, self-assured girl. I just like her sense of humor. Or maybe
I mean, they're not pretending to be, you know, people they're not. They're obviously not pretending to get along with everyone and fake it till they make it. They are who they are.
Competitive.
They've been at the back, though, now two legs in a row. They haven't really stepped forward and kind of been front runners. But
they've
also made up a 4-hour penalty, so that does say something about them.
I feel like they keep telling us how evil and diabolical they are, but I feel like they haven't done anything evil or diabolical.
They're probably getting that edit. Like, I mean, we definitely did a few things to earn that edit, but they haven't done anything yet to earn it, and I think it's just an easy thing to put on a couple that's competitive and type A and aggressive. You're automatically the villain to a lot of people.
Right. That's a good point. You know, we never wanted to be, or, you know, plotted to be a certain dynamic. We never said, let's be evil or let's be nice. We just wanted to be the competitive people we were, because we thought that would give us the best chance at winning. And immediately, the very first leg, when we asked Amy and Daniel for help on a clue location, and we ended up passing them en route to the finish line and taking, you know, the opportunity to win $2 million, immediately we got blasted for being evil, and, you know, we didn't care about handicapped people, and, you know, it wasn't it at all. It was, you know, we never saw that, but we didn't.
You don't think about that when it's happening. We didn't even know we were running to the pit stop. I mean, there's so many things that the viewers don't see, and he's right. We got this huge edit from people that are like, how cruel are you? But then you've got that small pocket of people that are competitive by nature or in their professions or whatever, and they're like, well, it's a game. $2 million game. You do what you can.
Yeah.
So.
Right. And my only point was, we never held ourselves out in our interviews as, oh, we're evil and this is what we do. And it seems like Max and Katie are kind of saying we're diabolical and, you know, kill or be killed, et cetera, et cetera. But they haven't really done anything to show that that's who they are. They're just talking the talk.
Talking the talk. How about Caroline and Jennifer? They had a strong run there at the end. They were able to get through the stilts challenge very quickly tonight. Are they competitors? Are we taking them seriously?
I think they'll do well.
Yeah. I don't see them winning, but I think they'll do well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. One's a little bit more stronger of a personality than the other, Caroline, right?
Yeah. But you got to remember, Rob, I mean, it's 40 minutes or 42 minutes, and we have a lot of teams to talk, you know, hear their story and watch them interact. It's really hard to get much more than, you know, a really small sample size of who they are right now. But they hustle. They're, you know, obviously Max and Katie are fearful of them. They didn't think they're a pushover team. Yeah. So that's the best way at this point in telling how teams are is, well, how do other teams that are racing, what are they saying about them on the show?
Yeah.
So it's not what you and I see. It's really, what are these teams that are racing against them saying about them? And
good point.
And so who's looking out for who? And both of those teams are getting, you know, the respect of each other.
Now, how about Pam and Winnie, who I had felt good about going into this episode, but they sort of had a disastrous week.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
They're not terrible people.
They're not terrible people. They're great people.
You know,
I don't know them from anyone else, but
yeah.
They're not going to make it past.
No. They're probably done next week.
I think that you know, there were two incidences tonight. One was with the father and son not reading their clue and grabbing their gear, and then these guys just running around. And we were in that situation a couple times. You run around with your, you know, like a chicken with your head cut off, and you're just not thinking. And they probably hopped on those jet skis and just went, but they weren't reading their clue probably. And that's something that Bertram was always yelling at everybody to do: read your clue, read your clue. And they just, I mean, they weren't thinking today, I don't think.
Yeah, and then physically, you can't really tell. Again, this is all edited, but, you know, one of them was struggling on the coconut task for quite a while. Her body was breaking down, you know, and it wasn't that she was physically breaking down. It seemed like psychologically she was giving up or giving in, and I just don't see them lasting too much longer at this point. As these weak teams start falling out, it really, the cream really does rise, and we'll see pretty soon that I don't think that they'll be around much longer.
Yeah, Pam and Winnie had a week this week like Idris and Jameel last week. I would not be surprised if they're the next ones to go. And they were my pick.
Oh, really?
Well, I picked them.
Why do you say that?
Why did I pick them, or why?
Yeah. Why do you pick them?
I thought they seemed funny. Seemed like they were able to work together pretty good. People are saying that Jason LeChung says Rob's curse. Maybe that's it. I thought they were something stood out about them. I liked them, but apparently it was not meant to be.
Yeah. I don't see it happening, but who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Okay. what about YouTube? We didn't talk about YouTube. They were doing pretty good there for a while. YouTube.
I think the season is soft. I really think it's weak. Like, I don't see any. I mean, besides the Hockey Brothers, no one's, and maybe Team J&J. I don't see a lot of teams that really look that strong all the way around, and certainly not YouTube. And you know, nothing against them. I know they're, you know, young and full of energy, but they don't really strike me as, you know,
being able to do those brain tasks with not a lot of food, not a lot of sleep, about a couple eggs in.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're in Bora Bora and French Polynesia right now. You're on vacation.
Yeah,
wait till you get to some of the, although they go to New Zealand next. This is like the best race.
Yeah, this is like spring break.
Exactly.
Right. One of the things that happened tonight was that Dave and Connor forgot their snorkel equipment, and then they had to go back, which was pretty amazing that they even made it to second place to begin with after that. Can you talk us through, did you have any experience like that where you missed something and had to go back and do it over again?
We had one, this is smaller, but we were in Indonesia and we didn't read our clue fully and we got dropped off at the balloon roadblock. And luckily it said, make your way on foot. We saw where the stand was with the clue box, and we got out of the cab and ran back, made sure we were okay. And we never made that type of error again. We're really lucky in that situation. One other time in Turkey, we had to get a bunch of stuff like loofahs and sandals. And I think at one point we just kind of set something down and were a little disheveled, and we ended up kind of bickering with one another. And again, we did a pretty good job, I would say, on when we made an error, really talking about it. And I don't think we ever really repeated, except for Frankfurt. We chose that. But we learned our mistakes pretty quickly. That one, though, was huge. That involved a boat ride back. I mean, it's, you need your equipment to go underwater. So
yeah, we read our clue. In fact, I keep coming back to this jute mill because so much stuff seemed to happen there. But I remember at one point the clue said to pick up the jute that we had made and carry it to another part of the factory. And so I went to pick it up and put it on my head. And Bertram comes out of nowhere and he starts yelling at me and Abby to make sure she picks one up too. And I'm looking at the clue. And as you, well, I don't know if you know, but there's a clue that we all see everyone read on TV. And then there's a clue behind the clue, like this whole sheet of paper that has much more details. And so Bertram's yelling at us to put the other barrel on Abby's head of hay, but she had just built a scale. It's about 120 degrees in this factory. She literally is about to pass out. And I'm like, there's no way she's going to do it. In fact, the clue says, put, you know, a barrel of jute on your head. And so I'm reading it back, and I don't want to yell at the producer or the creator of the show, obviously, but I didn't also want Abby to do this task. So we're going back and forth. It's very awkward. All the cameramen are like, I cannot believe you're engaging with Bertram right now. But, you know, I was so, because of what had happened to us in Indonesia, I was so determined to make sure I read the clue. I knew that the clue was just said one person and not two. And he ended up just kind of storming off and not wanting to talk to me after that. But, you know, I was made sure we read our clue.
It's good.
It's huge.
Yeah, big. It's always read the clue. All right, let me give you guys some questions that have come in from our listeners that are watching us live and also from Facebook. Here's a question from Mark Edwards in the chat room. He wants to know, do you guys think you could have done the hello goodbye task from the finale where everybody who said hello and goodbye to you guys on the mat, they said it in a certain language. Could you guys have won that challenge?
Well, we already know it would have been me because we talked about who would have done what. That was a hefty challenge. I think that it's a process of elimination, and I think what happened was it got down to some of the Muslim countries that were really interchangeable, and it was tricky. I mean, I think that I could have done it, but I wouldn't say I would have just blazed through it.
I have way more confidence. She would have done it. She would have killed it. She's got, first of all, she speaks like three languages fluently, mm-hmm. and we tested that task the night before we went, before they did it in real time in New York. We tested it.
They tested it on us.
They tested it on us and the rockers just to get a gauge on how to do the task because they didn't know how many decoy words to put in, et cetera. And Abby tested it, and she got down to like two or three countries that she didn't know, whereas the other teams were left at like six and seven countries that they didn't know. And she would have probably taken about an hour, I'm guessing, to work through that process of elimination. And I'm pretty sure.
Well, it would have come down to mathematics, like the Beekmans had said, it was a process of elimination. So you know which ones work, and then the ones that don't work and you don't have questions about, you have to do mathematically.
I think she would have done it.
It was tough, though.
Wait, so after you get eliminated on the race, then they make you test future challenges?
In our circumstance, yes, we don't really know, but they had a challenge that I think they thought was going to be quite difficult. You know, in past seasons, it's been like, what countries have you been to and what was the person wearing? Ryan and I had prepared all of that ahead of time. We, you know, really paid attention to detail. And this was just one that went over everybody's head. And as a viewer at home, I think it's easy to look at the television and go, come on, the subtitles say hello and goodbye. But we're not seeing that. We're hearing that, and it just didn't register with anybody. So,
yeah, and also
they ended up testing it on a couple teams the night before, I think, to see if it was ridiculously out of control or if it was something that could be done. And yeah, I don't know, they tested on us.
And you gotta remember, when we're at the pit stops with Phil, you know, he's asking us questions, but he's also talking to the camera crews and production about camera angles and, you know, and he's saying and repeating things that he's already said to get the right shot.
Taking pictures of girls.
What's that?
He's taking pictures of girls on the mat.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't know when they're saying hi and goodbye, if it's just part of the formal process of shooting the show or if there's really more to it. So anyways, when they tested it the night before they ran it on the race in New York, they had a whole banquet table full of these note cards that included hi and goodbye and a bunch of other words and other languages. And they just didn't know, you know, is this a 3-hour task or is this you'll never get it? If, you know, how many decoys do we tell you along the way if you got one right or you didn't get one right? You know, it was pretty last minute and unorganized, but I don't think you really knew it was going to turn out until you tested it.
Charlotte wants to know, where was their favorite place to travel on The Amazing Race? Did you have a favorite place from your season?
I mean, Turkey. I go back to Turkey, yeah.
Istanbul was incredible.
It was really pretty. But, we had just come from Bangladesh, too, which is as poor of a country as you'll ever see.
But that experience was remarkable to go there. But I think in terms of like maybe revisiting, I was taken away by Turkey. Even flying into Moscow was really neat. The actual city was gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, Amsterdam's a beautiful city with all the canals and the brick buildings. So that was really pretty as well. I mean,
Turkey's my pick.
I'd go back to Turkey if there was a free ticket anywhere.
And there was delicious ice cream.
We didn't have any.
Eat that. We got massages, though.
We had
massages.
Turkish delight.
And what was that drink?
What?
But that drink that you guys had to serve to people? Sherbet?
I drank my own drink. I got high on my own supply on that. I had to go back and refill. Otherwise, we would have beat Lexi and Trey for first place. I was so dehydrated. We were running. That city is so steep. So we started along the waterfront, and we had to work our way up to this bathhouse. We sprinted up the uphill. I don't know how our camera crew did it because their bags were twice as heavy as ours, but we spent about 25 minutes in a sprint up a hill, And when we got out of there, I was so dehydrated. By the time we got to the bazaar to serve that tea, I was just selling one and drinking one and selling one and drinking one. Then I ran out of cups. And I started giving people the cups that I'd been drinking out of. And I was like, this is disgusting. I'm the disgusting human.
All right. Kenneth Jackson wants to know, who from last season do you guys still keep in touch with? Well, we got obviously the Beekmans, right?
Obviously the Beekmans and actually the 20s. I know people think like we were mortal enemies. We really weren't. I mean, like I said, the show is edited. So they could say one or two things about us. But since the show has 10 teams to capture, 11 teams, those one or two things may be only things they said about us. So it feels like there's this huge conflict. And it really wasn't like that.
I think they're, you know, they were threatened by us. We were threatened by them. And they're vocal and we're vocal. And it was just kind of like a little abrasive, almost like playful bickering that was going on that was definitely magnified. You know, the things that you can appreciate about the 20s is they say what they want. There's no facade. There's no two-facing. It's very what you see is what you get. And I think as loud as they can be and direct with their opinions, I appreciated their frankness.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We like them.
How about Team Texas? What was your take on them? You're talking about Argo?
Anne
Hathaway?
We never really, I mean, they're younger. They're we just kids. Didn't really click with them.
I Trey wasn't bad. And I don't know. I mean, the whole, actually what happened during the season versus after the season changed for me as well. I'd reached out to Lexi after all the stealing thing went down with them in the 20s. And I said, you know, this is kind of a reflection of all of us. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there, but she had said, well, it wasn't what it looked like. And she alluded to the fact that, you know, they try to turn the money back into production and production said, it's not ours. You figure out what to do with it. And so I kind of went out on social media and I was like, hey, you know, basically to the people that were calling them out as thieves and they're
Christians.
Hold
on, can I back you up, Ryan? So just
said, maybe you guys don't know it, you know, the whole story, and maybe they try to turn the money in, at least think about it. And so I went out of my way to, you know, talk to someone I really didn't know that well, but I thought it was the right thing to do. And all of a sudden, like three, you know, episodes later, Lexi and Trey are pretty much a part of the plot to get us off the show. And they're, you know, so happy about it. I would have thought that she would have said, listen, Ryan, I know you don't know exactly what happened that day with the U-turn, but, you know, it's going to look like, you know, Trey and I were ecstatic about it. And maybe at the time we were, but I just want to let you know, this is what's coming up and just kind of be prepared. But, you know, she didn't owe me that. I would have done that, especially because of the effort I went to kind of get her name cleared for whatever that was worth. And it never really worked out that way. So, you know, no love lost.
Brad Talk wants to know, what would you do with the extra express pass? Would you keep your word to the Alliance? Now, if you were in that situation, going back to the first episode where there's like five or six teams, they say, okay, whoever comes in second from this group, that's who's getting the express pass. What do you do in that situation? Because I know strategically, you said you wouldn't want to give the right thing to a strong team. Can you step up in that point and say to the other teams, actually, that's not what I feel like doing with the express pass. Could we do something different?
Well, to be honest, knowing Ryan and I don't know if we would have ever agreed to that in the first place.
Yeah.
It just seems like a really campy thing to do.
Exactly.
And a very unnecessary thing to do. I just don't see us ever being a part of that. I see that being like a Texas 20 Chippendale type of thing. I don't know.
The only time on our season when an agreement like that happened that I can think of is when we were in Indonesia and there was a 3-hour time difference between five teams and the other four teams.
On a train.
And we knew that there was a U-turn coming up because it was in the clue. And on our train was Chippendales and Rockers and the Beekmans. Oh, no. Us.
It was Rockers, Texas, Beekmans, us, Chippendales on a train. And we decided not to use the U-turn coming up and allow the people on the second train to use it amongst themselves.
Right. There was a 3-hour time difference. So we made an agreement. It made sense. Plus, we didn't want to burn our U-turn that early in the race. We were so far ahead of the other teams, it made no sense. So in that instance, we did make an agreement. We did stick to it. But I don't understand the point in agreeing to this express pass thing. I just don't think, like Abby said, we would have even gone there with it. You know, it
seems unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would just be afraid of ruffling feathers for the other team because you don't want to be known as the team that nobody, you know, people get annoyed. It doesn't take totally. Much. Yeah, if
you alienate yourself.
Yeah, you shoot down somebody's idea, and they're like, "Oh, well, screw you, Goodman. Screw you, man." Now, right. Now you're getting U-turned. Next time, you shot down my idea.
That's a good point too.
Yeah, it is a social.
It's
game.
It's a little social game. Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes down to it, we wouldn't be the people that would. Well, okay, let's put it this way: Daniel and Amy are threats. We're threats to us physically. So, what if they came in second that day? Would we still hand it to them?
I mean, I think we would.
We'd stick to our word, and you know, I think have enough confidence.
I don't
in
think
our
the express pass is. I mean, it's valuable. I don't think it gets you a guarantee into the final three. So, I don't know.
I know Ryan and I would stick to our word. I'm just saying, I think when it came down to that, if it was a strong team, I think he would say to me, don't worry, we got this. Like, we can race them. Don't, you know, yeah. Express Pass isn't going to do much. So, I don't know.
Okay,
it's a little gimmicky. The whole thing's a little gimmicky, but no big deal.
All right, one last question. This is from Jason Lucheng. He wants to know, what was your hardest task on the race?
I know for you.
For me?
The scale.
Building the scale.
Yeah.
I was pretty proud of that. That was tough. It was hot. The sun was blazing. We didn't have a lot of water. Things were spinning. I had never even made it past brownies, let alone Girl Scouts. So I was pretty proud of that one.
Yeah, I was actually really proud of her too. I remember watching her that day, just blown away that she was building. And I was thinking, I don't know that I could do this. And, you know, there was something about watching her gave me strength. But later on, you know, one thing that I was deathly afraid of early on was heights. I had, you know, major fear of heights, and we did the rappel the first day in yeah. Pasadena off that bridge. So that was hard for me. I didn't really have a choice, because when we got hooked up and Abby and I were hooked up to each other, she decided to launch off the bridge and she pulled me with her. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't prepared, but I don't know that I could have gone without that. And then the other thing I didn't want to do was anything dance related. And we got a synchronized swim in Russia, and then we got a Russian dance. And
yeah.
Both those things worked out okay. I just, you know, they were hard for me physically and sort of psychologically.
Yeah. How about sanding and painting the bus?
That was brutal.
Well, we were there for about an hour and a half, and for the first 45 minutes, there was nothing you could do. They were going to tell you no, and this is like one of the main things I learned about the race was
yes.
Sometimes it's so subjective that they're going to wait to get the shots that they want and the edit that they need to make a good show, and then they'll tell you that the task is completed and you can move on. So I literally was sanding this bus and, you know, putting this bus for 45 minutes when, you know,
they were covered in fumes. Like, we couldn't even breathe.
I'm
they were
pretty
just...
sure I got cancer from that task.
Carcinogens. Oh,
yeah, that was pretty nasty. The other thing about that task that I remember is I got onto that bus first to pull the chairs off, and I'm trying to lift them up, and they're like the heaviest iron I'd ever picked up in my life. And I'm trying to carry this thing out, and I said on TV, I said, there's no way the girls are going to be able to do this, talking about the 20s. And I went and I dropped it off, and I came back to get my next set of chairs, and I felt that the chairs behind mine were like 30 pounds lighter, made out of plastic. And so I don't know how it was set up that way, but it was one of those things where you're like, oh, okay, I get it now. This may be, you know, easier said than done,
mm-hmm.
or easier done than said. There's ways that the show can kind of fix these things.
Now, isn't it true that this challenge, it was so hard that you got so sweaty you ruined the clue?
Yeah,
that was it. That was the one I had asked one of the Chippendales for help with. It not only ruined the clue because of my sweat, but the bonding material that they give you for the putty for the bus
yeah.
is like a harsh chemical. So it ate through the plastic bag that I put my clue in.
Whoa. All right. Well, that's it's very dangerous to go on the Amazing Race.
Very. I was wearing about $200 worth of Lululemon clothes that day, too. It was all ruined.
Oh.
What are you going to do?
All right. Well. where you want to wear like work clothes. That's another reason why it helps to be a redneck on the Amazing Race. You're not wearing anything that's that expensive.
Yeah, you can't see stains on camouflage, right?
that's right. All right, well, Ryan and Abby, thank you so much for coming on with us and talking about the Amazing Race. Okay, well, one last thing. Give us your pick for the winner of Amazing Race 22.
You go.
I'll go with Max and Katie.
Max and Katie. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll go with hockey.
Okay. All right. So you're on different ends of the spectrum. One team's in first place, one team's almost in last, and we'll see.
I mean, that's my pick, so.
I always go with a male-female team.
I would pick Max and Katie, but he did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I told you that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'll go with Team J&J then. They seem strong.
I think they're going to have a big fail, a big epic fail at some point.
The J&J team?
Yeah, I just think they're going to have a Frankfurt or something. I have a weird feeling about it.
They have an express pass.
Not if you get stuck in Frankfurt.
Yeah, that's when express pass don't help.
All right, well, guys, thank you so much for coming on with us. If you want to follow Ryan and Abby on Twitter, they have Twitter names that are easy to understand. You want to give them real quick?
Yeah, at Ryan Danz, RYANDANZ. And Abby is at Abby.
ABBIE Ginsberg, GINSBERG.
Yeah.
Pretty easy.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob. You're the best.
Thank you. Yes. And for everybody who's here joining us live, we've got a very special show coming tomorrow night. I announced this on Twitter, but I haven't said it on the show. I have been planning. We had so much fun at the Survivor the Amazon reunion, and I said we're going to do a Survivor Pearl Islands reunion in the fall, but I just can't wait to do another reunion show. So Monday night, we are getting the original Fans Tribe from Survivor Fans versus Favorites 1 together, here to talk about what is going on Survivor Fans versus Favorites 2. It's also been 5 years since Survivor Fans versus Favorites, so all of the 6 seasons are having their anniversary. So it's Survivor 6, Survivor 16, Survivor 26. So it's been 5 years since Fans versus Favorites, and we're going to check in with a number of people from the original Fans Tribe. We're scheduled to be joined by Kathy, Chet, Tracy, Mary, and I believe Joel is also going to be with us on Monday night. And, you know, we're trying to reach out to everybody else from the tribe. Obviously, Eric is under contract. He's on this current season. He can't be on the show. But, we're going to talk about Survivor Fans versus Favorites 1, talk about Survivor Fans versus Favorites 2, and what it's like to see Eric competing on the new Fans versus Favorites, but this time as a favorite. So that's going to be tomorrow night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. So we'll post a topic on Facebook, so you can go ahead and post your questions for us on our Facebook fan page. And if you want to get more Amazing Race coverage every week, well, you're in the right place, because if you want to subscribe to our Amazing Race only show feed on Rob Has a Website, you can do that if you go to robhasawebsite.com/showfeeds, click on the Amazing Race feed up there, and you'll get our Amazing Race feed in iTunes or in whatever podcatcher you're using. And don't forget, tomorrow we'll have our Amazing Race blogger, Jessica Lease. She's going to be up with her new blog on the Amazing Race from this week. And if you missed any of Amazing Race this week, or you want to get a humorous slant on it, don't forget to check out Eric Curto's Amazing Race video recap. And that's probably going to be out on Tuesday on robhasawebsite.com. And that is really, really a fantastic way to catch up on the Amazing Race, because Eric does a great job. And I'm so upset that I just remembered that I forgot to ask Ryan and Abby about my favorite moment from last season, which Eric did such a great job of capturing in his recap from that week of pencils down, pencils down. It's, unfortunately, I forgot all about that. Anyway, so thank you guys for staying up late with us, especially our West Coasters. By the way, for you, this is West Coast Week on robhasawebsite.com, because we have another treat for you guys on the West Coast. Survivor Know-It-Alls this week is going to be a special West Coast edition. Yes, yes. Steven and I's schedules didn't work out for us to be able to do the East Coast version. So you guys on the West Coast, you guys are the big winners, because it will be a West Coast Survivor Know-It-Alls this Wednesday. So that's going to be at 9:15 p.m. Pacific time. So good for you guys on the West Coast. You guys get to join in the fun this week. So everybody else on the East Coast is not going to get their know-it-alls this week, but you guys on the West Coast do. So woohoo. Anyway, so that's going to be what's coming up this week. So very busy week here on Rob as a Podcast. As always, don't forget, next Sunday night, things are going to get really crazy. Celebrity Apprentice is going to kick off. And also this week, Canadian Big Brother kicks off. So check out, I'm going to post on Monday, my Big Brother Canada preview podcast that I recorded this weekend with the winner of Big Brother 14, Ian Terry, and I previewed Canadian Big Brother. So that was a fun show that we did over the weekend. I think you guys will like that as well. So Canadian Big Brother feed is also coming to Rob Hizzle Podcast. .com. So that's about it for me today. Thank you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed the Oscars tonight, or if it's on Monday, hope you guys enjoyed the Oscars last night. Mark Edwards is asking in the chat room, will there be more Amazing Racers coming up? Yeah, absolutely. We're going to try to get Amazing Racers, and every week we're going to talk to Amazing Racers or either Eric or Jessica, one of our Amazing Race bloggers. So you know, I don't know as many Amazing Racers as I do Survivors or Big Brothers, obviously, but that, you know, we're making connections and trying to get a hold of more and more racers and trying to bring you more and more race interviews. So until tomorrow night when we reunite the cast of the original Fans Tribe, take care, everybody. Have a great night. Bye.